Day after tomorrow, the speaker will answer questions. Written down, please, not questions from the audience. Please write them down and we'll try to answer them. I wonder why you're all here. I think we ought to consider that this is not an entertainment. This is not something you go to a Sunday morning or a Saturday afternoon to be entertained, to be stimulated, to be talked at. As we pointed out yesterday, we have got great many problems confronting us. Political, religious, economic, social, and also personal problems. And few of us are free from any kind of authority, religious, psychological, social. Apparently, we have become incapable of being responsible for ourselves. The psychologists, the scientists, the preachers, the priests, the religious organization tell us what to do. And happily, the Indian gurus are no longer in favor in this country. That wave has passed. And there are two people eager to tell you what is enlightenment, how you should reach it, what to meditate, what to do, and so on, so on, so on. Here, we are doing nothing of that kind. And the speaker means it. Here, if you are serious, we are thinking together, which does not mean that you accept what the speaker says. It does not mean that you have your own particular point of view, your own particular experience, and hold on to it. Then thinking together becomes utterly impossible. It is absolutely necessary, seeing what the world is, utter confusion, terrorism, kidnapping, the totalitarian states with their image, how society should be run, and the other side with their image are also very clear on this matter. And so as you observe, without any prejudice, that the world is in a great crisis. The crisis must be answered. Human beings have created this crisis by their lives, by their beliefs, by their parochial attitudes, by their so-called individualistic freedom, which is no longer free but controlled. We have created this conflict in the world. And I'm sure most of you, if you have observed, would recognize that fact. That society has come into being by human greed, human behavior, human illusions with their many, many images, with the national divisions, religious adherence, accepting some doctrines, beliefs, dogmas, rituals. And so there has been throughout the world a series of wars, conflicts, brutalities, cruelties, and so on. And as we said yesterday, there are very few people who say, let us really solve this problem. This problem of conflict between man and man, between human beings. There are many explanations for this conflict. Some historical, some factual, some imaginary, some based on their concepts, images, and so on. But when the speaker says observe, he is not analyzing. Let's be very clear on that point. Analysis, especially psychoanalysis like communism, is an unfortunate incident in our life. All right? Please, if I may point out what the speaker says, don't get irritated with him, don't get angry with him. Don't throw a bomb, don't shoot, but let us talk it over together. Because life is very complex and requires that we investigate it, that we look at it. You may not like what you see. You may disagree with it. You may say what you are saying is nonsense. Or contradict it angrily. But we are merely observing what is taking place first. In that observation, analysis has no place whatsoever. We'll go into it. Please have patience. And if you are really serious, don't just attend one talk and say, I've understood it, or it's talking nonsense, walk away. You have to listen to the whole, you have to read the whole book. You have to, as the commercial people say, you have to buy the package. Not just one part of it, which may suit you, which may be pleasant, but you have to buy it. To unfortunate word, you have to buy, if I may use it, the whole thing. So please, if you are serious, attend all the talks, if talks and go to the very end of it. This is not an invitation to have more people. Just a person who is serious has to listen to the whole story, read the whole book, and then see if it is right, true, false, or illusory. But just reading the first page and say it's all nonsense, or the first chapter, which may not please you, and throw the book away. The book is your life. A very, very complex life. And you have to have the patience, integrity, observation, and the responsibility of reading your own, this book which is yourself, so completely, so thoroughly, so as a whole, so that we can go beyond the book. The book which is yourself. So as we were saying, the world is in conflict. The world which is the economic, social, religious, political, social, is created by all human beings, whether in this country or in Europe or in India and so on. We are responsible for it. And few people, the intellectuals, the psychologists, the psychobiologists, the scientists, have said, let us solve this problem of human conflict. And we, who are not professionals, we're just ordinary human beings with all our anxieties, fears, pleasures, sorrows, the fear of death and so on, we have to resolve them. It becomes more and more necessary that we resolve them. Otherwise, human beings are going to destroy each other. This is again a fact which is actually going on. So, it behoves us that we think about the problem together. To think together implies that you and the speaker must be free of our particular narrow provincial parochial attitudes, beliefs, dogmas, experiences, so that we can meet each other. So what is the problem? As we asked yesterday, we are asking it again today. What is the problem? The problem is essentially a crisis in our consciousness. Crisis in our mind, in our brain, in our heart. That is the heart of the matter. And, as we said also yesterday, and I hope you don't mind the thing being repeated, that our brain, which is the center of all of our existence, our brain has evolved through time, through millions and millions of years. through those years, it has created for itself every form of self-protective device. It has sought, if you go into it yourself, and not merely repeat what psychologists and the brain specialists talk about, it has always sought security. Otherwise it can't function. Right? It must have security. So, it begins to create images. It begins to create illusions in which it takes safety. So it has created a certain pattern of existence for itself, which is our life. And it has developed through time, and therefore there is always this question of acquiring knowledge, using that knowledge to be secure in life. You're following all this, I hope. Because after all, knowledge is the most important factor in our life. Knowledge with regard to some technological activities, knowledge about the psyche, about ourselves. That knowledge has been acquired through millennia, stored up in the brain. The brain with all its cells and so on. As we said yesterday, the speaker has not read any of these books. Thank God. He has observed the activities of human beings, the activities of his own brain, which is through observing reactions, pleasurable, painful, sensitive, and so on, so on. So, it is a direct perception, not acquired second hand. And this is important in our communication with each other. So this brain has acquired tremendous knowledge. So has to be completely secure. Whether that knowledge is illusory, actual, fanciful, imaginary, pleasurable, and so on. It has created a pattern of existence for itself so that it can never be harmed, wounded, both physically as well as psychologically. This is important to understand because we live with images. Our religions are nothing but images created by the mind, by thought. And that which has been created as a holy image, you then begin to worship it. But it is essentially the desire, the necessity for it to be secure, to be safe, to be protected. But knowledge is always accompanied by ignorance. Right? Because knowledge can never be complete. Please see the importance of this. Knowledge can never be complete. You may acquire great information about the world, about matter, about heavens, not spiritual heavens, I don't mean that. Heavens, the skies, the universe. But whatever knowledge science has acquired and transmitted through generations, it is still within the area of ignorance, within the area of shadow, of the shadow which is non-knowledge. So see what we have done, how the brain has tricked itself into security in knowledge and holding on to that knowledge, and yet it has never discovered for itself that knowledge can never be complete, and therefore whatever action that takes place from that knowledge must be incomplete. I hope you're following with this. Please, we are not intellectual. Intellect has its place. The capacity of the intellect is to observe, distinguish, discern, but it is still, if that intellect becomes the whole of life, as it is now becoming, covering the whole field of life, that is a part, which is the intellect is a part of the whole human existence. But when a part takes supreme importance, then inevitably all action must be fragmented, incomplete, and therefore conflict. I hope you're following all this. Right, may I go on? No, I can go on, but as we said, we are thinking together. Because the speaker is not selling you anything, thank God. He's not asking you to follow him, all that tummy rot. The speaker says, the world is in such a misery, confusion, turmoil. For God's sake, let's think together. And to think together implies we must be free to observe. Not I observe and tell you, or you observe and say, no, you don't see properly. But together observe. Right? As we said, observation, analysis has no place in observation. Analysis is the discovery of the cause and the effect. Right? It's all right. The bird. Perhaps it likes us. Please understand this. I'm going to it carefully, because observation is entirely different from analysis. Observation is immediate. You see the tree. But if you begin to analyze, you never see the tree. Right? See, understand this. That is, to observe means seeing, being sensitive,
aware and without any movement of thought, just to observe. I wonder if I'm right. I'm going slowly without, when I said without thought, I'm going to go into it. Be patient. So observation is not analysis. Analysis implies the analyzer who is analyzing something outside of himself. The analyzer thinks he understands, has superior knowledge, and he is analyzing something outside of himself. But if you observe very carefully, the analyzer is the analyzed. Right? You follow this? If you see that, not as an idea, but as a fact, you understand? Like, anger is not different from you. You are anger. I'm sorry, sir. I said I would be careful.
Put it right down, sir.
When you are angry, at the moment of anger, there is no division between the I and the anger. But later on, a few seconds later, you say, I have been angry. So you have separated yourself from that reaction which you have called anger. So in the same way, when you analyze yourself or being analyzed by another, the analyzer is part of the analysis. Part of the thing which is analyzing is not separate from the analyzed. Right? Please understand, go into it in yourself as we are talking. This is thinking together. I am not, the speaker is not telling you what to think, which is generally what people do. The professors, the analysts, the preachers and all the rest of it. We are not doing that. What we are saying is, as long as there is a division between the analyzer and the analyzed, there must be conflict. Right? But that is an illusion. It's not a fact. The fact is, the observer is the observed psychologically. Right? I observe that tree, but the tree is not me. I'm not the tree. But psychologically, inwardly, the reaction of anger, greed, jealousy is me. I am not separate from that. But we have separated it in order to do something about it. Is that correct? I mean, you understand. I feel violence and I create the idea of non-violence and I will do something about the violence. But the fact is, I am violence. I am not different from the fact. Then a totally different movement takes place. Do you understand? I wonder if you understand. We are now thinking together to eliminate conflict. You understand? As long as there is a division between the observer psychologically the analyzer and the analyzed, there must be conflict. As long as there are divisions between people, there must be conflict. Religious, economic, social, political. There must be conflict. As long as there is a Jew, as long as there is an Arab, there must be conflict. So, wherever there is division psychologically, there must be conflict. That's a law. So, in thinking together, we see that wherever there is analysis, psychoanalysis, psychotherapy, all that, is in that process, there is division. And it must breed conflict. I forgot. I'll hold back. And observing is the total denial of analysis. I wonder if you understand this. Our whole conditioning is to analyze. Right? Our education, our everything is either do, don't do, this is right, this is wrong, this should be, this should not be, and so on, so on, so on. And recently, in the last 100 years, the psychoanalytical process has come into being, like communism, which are both unfortunate things to happen. Because really, if you observe, both are the same. I won't go into it now, it's too long. They've analyzed history and come to some conclusion. You follow? Historical conclusion. According to that, they have built a pattern. The theorists, with their image, with their an analyzed state, and created totalitarianism. And the psychologists, with their analysis and so on, so on, have created the same pattern in a different field. So what we are saying is, together, observe. Now, observe the conflict, right? So, what is the conflict? Now, how do you observe conflict? Do you understand my question? You, as a human being, if you will permit me, speaker, to say so, you, as a human being, are in conflict. Whether you are aware of it, or you have neglected it, or you don't want to look at it, or you think God, somebody is going to save you, you are essentially in conflict. And as we said yesterday, how do you approach this problem? You understand? How do you look at the problem? That is, how do you come to it? How do you look at it? How do you approach it? How do you observe it? He said, we're talking over together. I'm not telling you how to observe it. I'm only asking you how you come to it, how you receive it, how you look at it. If you observe, are aware, are you aware of this conflict without any choice? A choiceless awareness. You understand? Or becoming aware of this conflict, you say, I must resolve it. You understand? When you say, I must resolve it, you have already separated yourself from the fact. I wonder if you see that. Are you following me, some of you? Come on, some, let's move. Please, together we are thinking. Together alone, we can resolve this problem. Nobody else in the world can. So, your approach to the problem matters enormously. If you have a motive, that motive dictates the direction which the problem must take. You understand? So, your approach must be free from motive. Your approach must be free of the desire to resolve it. See the difficulty. If your approach is conditioned by your education, by your desire, by your pleasure, you can never solve it. So the mind must observe this problem free from all its motives, desires, and trying to resolve it. Because you are the problem, right? Have you understood? You are the problem, not conflict is the problem. Right? Can we go from there? Please. Conflict is you. I'm not telling you this. You, in your observation, you have discovered it. In your thinking together, we have discovered the fact. Conflict is not outside, it is inside, and that conflict is you. You may say, I am God, or somebody is going to save me. You know, we have played this kind of trick for millennia. You understand? God's sake, let's grow up. So the problem now is our consciousness. You understand now? Our consciousness, which means the way you think, the way you live, the way you believe, the way you react, your behavior, your thing, all that is your consciousness, which is your life. That consciousness is you. Please, this is really important to understand. Give your attention for a few minutes. That whole of that consciousness is essentially you. The content of that consciousness makes consciousness. You understand? The content of consciousness of a Protestant is what he believes, his rituals, his images of religion, Jesus, you know, all that. And he's nationalistic, his particular attitudes, opinions, his relationship with another, his hurts, his anxiety, his sorrow, his, right? And the Catholic with his content of his consciousness, and the Hindu with his, and the Buddhists and so on, the Arabs and the, you follow all this? That consciousness is put together by its content. And as long as that content remains, the conflict must go on. Have you got this point? this content has been put together through time. It isn't one day's acquirement. Our brain is the result of time, evolution. Our brain is not your brain and my brain, but the brain of mankind. This is difficult for you to see and even recognize, because we have been so conditioned that it's my brain. You understand? And it's your brain. But if you observe, human beings right throughout the world go through enormous turmoil, poverty, anxiety, insecurity, confusion, psychologically wounded, fear of being hurt physically, fear of psychological hurts, fear of death, and the inquiry, what is there beyond? And the innumerable images man has created in the name of God, and worshipping those images right through the world. That is the content of our consciousness. Right? And as long as that content, which is always divisive, which is always fragmented, our action must be fragmented. Right? We are thinking together, I am not telling you. So how the problem then is it possible for that for the content of that consciousness to be dissolved? You understand? Go into a little bit. That is, one of the contents of that consciousness is the psychological wounds that we have received from childhood. You know them, don't you? You're all familiar with them. That's one of the, probably one of the major conflicts, major factor in our consciousness. We'll go into that completely together, so that together we dissolve it immediately. You understand? It's not analysis, but pure observation. Analysis implies a concept from which you are working. You understand? Right, sir? In observation, there is no concept. So we are thinking together. Human beings, from the very beginning of time, have been hurt inwardly by a casual remark, by a look, by a word, by being sarcastic, by denying what you hold dear, what you consider the most important thing in your life, and somebody comes and treads on it, you feel terribly wounded. Right? And we are asking, the consequences of that wound is to resist, build a wall around yourself, which is to isolate yourself. Observe all this, please. Observe. We are not analyzing. We are just observing the story of, reading the story of the hurt. Really, we are not analyzing. You understand? I wonder if you come on, right? You resist. fear enters into it, not to be hurt more. So gradually, that hurt has helped you to isolate yourself. Right? See the fact. The consequences of that isolation is more fear, more anxiety, and so on, so on, so on. The consequences. So, the fact is that you're hurt. And what is hurt? Don't say my next question. What is the thing that is hurt? Are you all interested in all this?
Yes.
It's your life anyhow. If you're not interested, I'm sorry for you. What is the thing that is hurt? Is it your psyche? Is it your observing? We are not analyzing, observing psyche, or basically the image that you have built about yourself. You understand my question? The image one has built about oneself. I might build an image about myself, saying I'm a great man, I have audience, you know, blah, blah, blah. I travel all over the world, how important it is, and so on. I have reached some state. You follow? I built an image about myself, as you have built an image about yourself. I haven't got it, but doesn't matter. Because I've from childhood, I never have want an image. It's too stupid. So, having created an image about oneself, a noble, ignoble, or inferior, superior, whatever it is, ugly, beautiful, with fanciful decoration, and romantic, sentimental, you know, the image that each one has, that gets hurt, right? So can you, we are talking over together, please, can one be free of the image? And who is the creator of the image? You're following all this? You're not thinking together. I am asking the questions. Doesn't matter. We are thinking together, I hope. Who is the creator of this image? Because in that image there's safety. You understand? There's security. There is what you would call identification. National identification, religious identification, economic identification, democrat, republic, you follow? You have, this image has been created from childhood. Right? Through education, so on. Who is the creator of all this? As we said, knowledge is the factor of this image, right? I wonder if you meet it. Our experience at all levels of life, as a carpenter, as a scientist, as a housewife, home builder, as it's called now, and so on, so on, so on, we all have created images for ourselves. And when that image is questioned, doubted, somebody puts pin into it, you get hurt. As long as you have an image about yourself, you're going to get hurt. Like a man who says, I've achieved enlightenment, you follow? And he's talking about environment, preaching about environment. Such a man knows nothing about environment, about enlightenment. It's just his concept, you follow? So, is it possible then to live a life, daily life, without this image? And who creates this image? It is the result of knowledge, obviously. Knowledge that you have, the mind, the brain has acquired through centuries. And that knowledge has been translated as the image, and that image predominates. But that image is always living within the field of ignorance. I wonder if you see that. Because knowledge can never be complete. Right? So, whatever knowledge psychologically one has acquired, it is surrounded by the shadow of ignorance. Right? So the problem is, are you interested in all this? So the problem is it possible to be free of psychological knowledge and yet not identify the technological knowledge psychologically? You understand? I wonder if you see this. We'll talk in together as two friends, inquiring into the problem of conflict and seeing the necessity, the absolute urgency of ending conflict. Because if we don't end it, you and I, the speaker, are going to destroy the world, which we are doing now. So the question is, experience, knowledge, memory. See the sequence of it. First, experience. Then, out of that experience, acquiring knowledge, given by others or by oneself, and that is stored up in the brain as memory. Right? That memory, that knowledge, that experience, creates this image. But that knowledge has never acknowledged the fact that it is incomplete. You understand? It must live in the shadow of ignorance. However much it may advance or ascend, right? It must be in the field of ignorance. And therefore must be in conflict. Right? So is it possible for that enormous knowledge that one has acquired, knowledge technologically, the tremendous knowledge which we have acquired technologically, as a carpenter, as a plumber, as a bureaucrat, as a politician, so on, so on, that knowledge not be identified by the psyche, and so the psychological knowledge is maintained. You follow what I mean? No, you're not following me. Right. I'll explain. technological knowledge is necessary. Absolutely. Because otherwise we can't do anything. Why should we have psychological knowledge? You understand my question? We have. That the knowledge has become the image. And that image is going to be hurt. And from that hurt, the consequences of that hurt is isolation, more conflict, more fear, more misery, more destructive activity. So we are asking, why should there be any psychological knowledge at all? You understand, sir? Why? Let's talk about it. Let's look at it. Is it the fear? Please listen. Is it the fear of not being anything? You follow? All our education says be something. Right? Or become something. Successful. Noble, brave, put away cowardice, become holy, meditate. You follow? So, all knowledge is purely technological, right? Why should we have the other? I don't know if you're thinking together, observing. Which means what? To have no psychological knowledge. You understand, sir? What it means? And is one in that observation discovering the utter emptiness of life? You understand? Utter meaninglessness of life, and so deeply feeling that, create the image and hold on to that image. You're following all this? Is it that because if you have no image, you're nothing? Which means not a thing. You understand? Nothing means not a thing. That is, not a thing. Thing is created by the thought, by the mind. I wonder if you follow this. No, this is too much. So, is that why we acknowledge being hurt and hold on to it, because that is something that we have, some precious thing that we hold on to. As your belief in some religious dogma, image and so on, you hold on to that, because without that, what are you? So, can we, in thinking over together, see the simple fact that our life as it is utterly meaningless, right? You're unwilling to face it. Utterly meaningless, and so deeply meaningless, so you create all the images, the beliefs, the dogmas, the rituals, the popes, the gurus. And you're going to get hurt. And a man who sees this, observes it, immediately is free of it. Right? I wonder if you see. You're free of image. So, next question is, who is the creator of all this mischief? What time is it, sir?
12:30.
Huh?
12:30.
An hour passes very quickly. You want me, shall I go on with it? And that means the capacity to observe all this mischief that man is creating for himself, for others, and feeling the responsibility of it, both physically and psychologically. We think together to resolve it, not just discuss it, play around with words and throw about words. Actually, enter into the problem so completely that you are that problem anyhow. So we are asking, who is the creator of all this mischief? So we must go into it very carefully. Man has given, human beings have given, when I say man, please, I'm including the woman. Don't let's get agitated about that. Gosh, words have become so loaded that we can never talk freely about anything. Human beings have given tremendous importance throughout the ages to thought. Right? Thought has created the wars. Thought has created the content of the churches and the architecture. Thought has created the society, right? Thought has created the whole complex technological world. Thought has created the division between the Arab and the Jew, between the American and the English, the German, the Italian, the Hindu, the Buddhist, the... Thought has created this. And we have lived with it, this division, which we have accepted as normal, natural, healthy. And thought is the maker of all this division. And therefore, where there is division, there must be conflict. Our intention, our meeting together these few mornings, is to eliminate conflict. Please see, only when you are free of conflict can there be love. Not all this nonsense called about love. It's only the mind and the heart that's really free from all conflict. Then it's only possible to know what compassion, what love is. I think we better stop, shan't we? I know we want to go on. We'll do it next Saturday. Or tomorrow, I'll left tomorrow in questioning. So this is a very complex problem, which is the whole movement of thought. I'll go into briefly and we'll go on another time. Once you observe that thought has been responsible for this division, for the religious images, attributing to it all kinds of virtue and so on, right through the world. When the speaker goes to India, as he does every year, he sees by, says, "You are the most superstitious people on earth." And when he comes here, he also sees exactly the same thing. The image worship, the preachers, the guru, you follow? So thought has built the world, both technologically, psychologically, and the world of mischief, turmoil, anxiety, fear, follow? Thought has been responsible. So we have to inquire, what is thinking? What is the nature of thinking? Because we live by thinking. Everything you do is the result of thinking. Your relationship with another, intimate or not, is in the movement of thinking. And if we do not understand the nature and the structure of thinking, we'll keep repeating the patterns of conflict, changing one pattern to another, hoping that pattern will solve the conflict. But these patterns, whether communist, capitalist, democratic, etc., 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 are created by thought. So thinking becomes extraordinarily important. And to find out what is this thinking that is making this enormous misery in the world. You understand, sirs? You must think, if you do anything, if you're going home or catching the bus or driving a car, there must be thinking. Either it's automatic, purposeful, clear. Otherwise you can't do anything. And thinking is the central factor of our being. That's a fact. Round that we build all kinds of pleasure, pain, fear, love, jealousy. That is the core. That's the heart of our existence. And what is thinking? And what is memory? If you have no memory, there's no thinking. You understand? A man in a state of amnesia. So, memory is the core of it, right? Memory of your wife, or your husband, or your girlfriend, or whatever it is. You have memory. That memory is put together through experience, right? Which becomes the knowledge. So your brain, the brain, which is not yours or mine, it's brain of human beings, which is a marvelous thing if you see the fact. It's not your petty little brain. But the brain that has been cultivated, grown, evolved, lived, suffered, pleasure, pain, that brain is our common factor. In that brain are the many cells which hold memory, like a computer. That memory is the result of experience, knowledge. So, in the world of technological world, that memory is absolutely necessary. Otherwise you can't write a letter. Otherwise you can't speak English to each other. You may, if you know French or Latin and so on, that's a different matter. So memory at a certain level is absolutely necessary. And thinking, which has made this world into what it is, immoral, ugly, brutal, cruel, destructive. What place has thought? You understand? If it is only important in the technological world, then what place has thought? You understand what I'm saying? I wonder if you could. Has it any place at all? You know, thinking together, don't agree or disagree. Look, sir, I must stop. We'll go on. I'll just stop a minute. Are you also working with me together?
Yes.
Aren't you tired? No, you're not tired because you're not talking. You're not putting tremendous vitality into it. Right? You're not putting all your energy, your heart, your mind into it. That's why you're not tired. Because to you, conflict is natural. You have accepted it. You don't want to break it, resolve it. So if you don't mind, we'll continue tomorrow. Not tomorrow. I know it is.